The following message was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lyndale, Texas. For more great teaching or to find information about our church and when we gather, visit our website at fbclyndale.com.
We are going to be in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 13. It's a very short verse. We're going to talk about some of the practical implications that it brings for us, though. So I'm going to go ahead, I'm just going to read verse 13, and we're going to dive into it. Lord, grant us wisdom and humility as we look at your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Romans 12, 13, and it says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, this is a part of a larger section which we've gone through slowly to look at some of the practical implications of this section of Scripture. And it really starts in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And then you have a shift in verse 14. This last section, in one sense, because it's utilizing the word hospitality, all sorts of things come to mind for us. But remember, we cannot divorce the original meaning, what the original readers or listeners to the book of Romans would have understood. Let's take a look first at the word contributing. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Contributing is to share freely. It literally means to come alongside one's needs or to be acquainted with one's needs. In order for us to know the needs of others, we have to know the others. See, this part here is, it's meant to be done in a relational manner. To adequately come alongside one's needs is to know what would best help them. Have you ever had a very well-meaning brother or sister in Christ offer to give you help that was not really helpful? Or have you ever been tempted to just give all your canned goods to a food bank without checking the dates? Have any of you ever worked for a food bank who's received a whole bunch of out-of-date food? The sentiment is nice, but this doesn't do us any good. This isn't coming alongside the need that we have to be filled. This isn't really contributing to what I need. This is actually contributing to more work. This means that in our contribution, it must be to the needs of the saints, the holy ones. So it's not flippant. It's not just, oh, well, here you go. It is purposeful. It's intended. It's based upon a knowledge of the needs of the saints. And I want to give aid in this particular direction for the sake of God's people, for the sake of his church. And so, as we think about some practical applications of that, if you know somebody in your Sunday school who is, say they have young kids, and their young kids are rapidly growing out of clothes, and you have kids that are a little bit older that have already grown out of those clothes, thinking, you know what? I bet this family, I bet they could use some of these clothes. I bet their kids could fit in those clothes. Or if you know that somebody is struggling financially, there's a financial decision that they have to make, or they're having a hard time making ends meet, if you know that, then contributing, giving a gift to that individual or that person. If you know somebody lacks knowledge or wisdom, this is a big deal, particularly for older individuals in the church or more seasoned, I won't use the term older, how about that? More seasoned individuals in the church, more seasoned disciples who notice my generation and younger trying to figure out how to do things. One of the most valuable things in my life has been older men who know how to do things better than I do coming alongside me and saying, all right, let me show you. You know, trying to learn everything from YouTube is kind of hard. One of the greatest needs right now in the church in the United States is multi-generational mentorship and discipleship. It's one of the greatest needs. It's that whole thing, you teach a man to fish, right? There are so many individuals who could benefit from the wisdom that you have gained. You come alongside them in their need. Thinking about the church in San Diego, we used to be at a church that was heavily, it had a lot of military people there. And so you had a lot of young families there who were separated from all their grandparents because they're from all over the place, because they're moving all over the place. And so what would happen is relationships would form between stand-in grandparents and stand-in grandchildren, and there would be almost this familial adoption. And you would have these couples adopt young couples and come alongside their needs and help them out. Take them out for dinner. Watch the kiddos. Give practical advice. So to contribute to the needs of the saints, a lot of times we assume it's a primarily monetary thing that we do. But I don't think that's the only way in which it can be understood. And that's also because it's given further context in the last two words here. But I want to encourage you, even now, even in your prayer life, Lord, how can I contribute? How can I come alongside the needs of the saints, of the people that you've placed in my life? How can I actually give something of value and of worth to that situation? There are many ways in which you can do this individually and corporately. Some of us assume that the only way that we can contribute to the needs of the saints is, well, I should sign up for a committee or something like that at the church. I'm not saying to not do that. As a matter of fact, there are plenty of opportunities for you to contribute to the needs of the saints here in an official capacity or on a team of volunteers. There are a lot of ways that you can do that. You remember, this is built off of a description of the spiritual gifts. And what is the sole purpose of God's gifting that he's given to individuals? It's for the building up of the church. And so as you contribute, you're utilizing the gifts that God has given you to contribute. Because it's all of grace anyway. Just previously, he said, for those who give, in verse 8 of chapter 12, one, or he who exhorts in his exhortations, he who gives with liberality or simplicity. Elsewhere, Christ our Lord said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. To give generously, cheerfully, it does require us not only to know and understand the needs of the saints that we are attempting to give to, but understanding our own need and how God supplies our need. However we contribute, brothers and sisters, this is not a one-time thing. This is not a, well, I gave my yearly gift for, you know, the year. I don't have to do any other good deeds towards anybody in the church. We should be giving and contributing to the needs of the saints in such a way that we must ask God for more. Whether it be time, whether it be finances, whether it be relationships. Oh Lord, give me more patience with this person. Whatever it is to contribute to the needs of the saints, we must recognize that we have a great need also. We must go to God and have our needs met in Him and also receive. Because in doing so, there are others who are contributing to the needs of the saints by those who contribute to us. This is something Tom and I talked about while we were walking through this text. There are a great many people also who desire to refuse help. No, I got this. I can do this. But in doing so, you're not allowing your brother or sister who sees your need to bless you. to be blessed by giving, to know that they are contributing to the needs of the church. So as you and I think about contributing very specifically to the needs, letting the needs of the saints inform how we contribute, recognizing that means that we come alongside the needs of these individuals, we know people well enough to know what they need. You have these last two words, pursuing hospitality. To pursue something is not to sit around and wait for it to come, right? If I say I'm pursuing a job, that means that I'm likely applying for jobs. I'm not just sitting and saying, well, the good Lord will drop it in my lap. Similar to a man, I believe it was during Katrina, who climbed a tree and he said, God's going to save me. You're going to save me, God. That's it. And then a boat came by and said, hey, jump in. And he said, no, God's going to save me. We actually have to pursue hospitality. We can't just sit around and wait for it to happen. Sure, there will be opportunities for you to serve others that come to your door, but that's not the principle that's woven throughout the entirety of Romans. Notice what Tom preached on this morning, the principle of us accepting one another, even if we disagree on certain issues. That's me putting myself out there. That's me saying, I'm going to not try to argue you into agreeing with me. I'm going to lovingly accept where you're at, and you're going to accept me. I'm not going to make this a divisive issue. So the mentality behind this in pursuing hospitality is that this is what you do. You're looking for ways to pursue hospitality. What is hospitality? Well, at this point in time, there was not a Motel 6 in Galilee or a Best Western, okay? There weren't a whole bunch of restaurants. You couldn't just go to Panda Express like some of you probably are right after this. There's a group here that goes frequently. Or a Cracker Barrel. Don't worry, they changed their sign. It's fine. But that wasn't really available. And so whenever people would travel from church to church, whether it be traveling evangelists or teachers, they had to rely upon the hospitality of individuals to open their homes, many of which have never met these individuals. You see this evidence at the end of Titus, Titus 3:12 through 15. When I send Artemis, Tychicus to you, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. This is Paul writing. Diligently help send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. Notice there's a diligence there, such that there's nothing lacking for them. And then he says, and our people must also learn to lead in good works to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. So you would have these individuals traveling around, teaching, preaching, evangelizing, and the main means that they would get food and a place to stay was church members opening their home and saying, sure, Apollos, he can come and stay here. I've never met him before, but come on, bring it. That's the hospitality that Paul is referencing here. And so if we're to pursue that, it's not a half-hearted hospitality. It's not, well, I guess I'll open my home. Well, I guess I'll give. Oh, sure, fine. You ever have those individuals? Well, I have Southern family. Some of those Southern grandmas, whenever you walk into their house, you know you're not leaving without a four-course meal. Honey, you're looking skinny. Sit down and eat. Come on now. And they don't take no for an answer. There's actually an example. It's one of my favorite passages in the book of Acts with Lydia, Acts 16. She prevails upon them. Listen to this. So setting sail from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the following day to Neapolis, from there to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside to the gate, to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And sitting down, we began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, whose heart the Lord opened to pay attention to the things spoken by Paul. That's a really important verse. I'm not going to get into it tonight, but keep that in mind. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And here's the final word. And she prevailed upon us. Lydia sought out, she pursued hospitality, saying, "No, come to my house. Let me serve you. Please come. I've only just met you, but I've heard this news about Jesus." And it's that news about Jesus that informed her pursuit of hospitality, such that she prevailed upon them, upon Paul, to come and be served at her house. There are individuals in our life, every time you go to their house, it feels like home. They do things in such a way, it's not the most nicely upkept house. It's probably what makes it feel like home. You go there and they say, "Come on in, make yourself at home." They actually mean it. Everything seems familiar. And for us, it's the blessing of friendship. That happened to us recently in Washington with at least two homes. But the other thing I know about these individuals is that anytime a missionary comes to town, they're the first to say, "No, we got him. Let him come here." They learn about their dietary restrictions, what they can and can't eat. They give them a nice room. They make food for them. They encourage them. They don't try to keep them up late at night, even though there's somebody they don't want to talk to. They're like, "Look, I know you need your rest. You're doing a lot." They're consistently thinking about the needs of the other, opening their home all the time. As a member of our church in Olympia, it was the same exact way. I'd go to their house. I'd visit them. And while her husband is dying from cancer, the woman couldn't help but make me some biscuit and chicken noodle soup. Okay, she was just, and he was there saying, "Come on in, sit down, our home is your home." And they would host missionaries all the time. They would host their son's friends all the time who were not Christians and say, "Come in, let us talk to you about the gospel." It was just something that flowed naturally from their love for Jesus, from their trust in Christ. And just like Lydia, it was the receiving of the gospel that stoked this desire in them to be hospitable. Now, as we think about hospitality, it's not always only in your home, though that was a big deal then, but it really is to give practical kindness. In a more literal sense, it's practical kindness paid especially to strangers. So notice first you have to the saints, some of whom might be strangers, but here you have even most specifically this idea of hospitality to strangers. And so, what's one of the ways in which we practically apply this? Brothers and sisters, is there anybody within the church that you have not gotten to know yet? Is there a couple in your Sunday school class that you haven't gotten to know yet? Why don't you invite them over? That is an interesting cultural difference between the South and the Northwest. Out here, it is kind of normal to just have people over, invite them over for dinner. Up there, we would try to invite people over for dinner, and they'd be like, "Well, you don't know us." And I'm like, "That's the point. I want to get to know you." That's just kind of weird. But I want to encourage you, if you don't know somebody within this congregation, get to know them and do so in a hospitable manner, thinking about their needs, not your own. There are so many examples of this in Scripture. There's so many examples of how we're called to give. And I'm certain so many of them are swirling in your mind. Giving generously, giving with a cheerful heart, for God loves a cheerful giver. But I think the foundation, I think a principle, a healthy principle for giving is ultimately rooted in Ecclesiastes, as we just finished in Sunday school. As we think about the material things that pass away, the things that you might even save up your entire life for, and you have no idea how they're going to be spent if a fool comes after and spends that inheritance. Here today, gone in a moment. The things that we put so much stock in, I want this, this is exactly what I need. Try to wake you up, there we go. And if we approach the things that God gives us as gifts to utilize for his kingdom rather than as gifts for me to use on myself, as things to use, not to be used by, then we will more freely say, yes, borrow my car. Yes, I'm going to open my home to you. Yes, borrow my rototiller. Whatever it may be, yes, you can borrow it by all means. And so, I want to remind you, because many of us are members in this room, whenever you become a member, you enter into a covenant with this body. One of the aspects of that covenant, it says, we will serve by cultivating a servant's heart. Well, to cultivate a servant's heart means that you have a heart that's pursuing meeting the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. Your heart is at that place or contributing to the needs of the saints and pursuing hospitality. You're cultivating a heart of willingness to release whatever God has given you for the kingdom. Because it's just stuff anyway. I'll never forget, oh my goodness, this past year we were having such trouble with our renovation. We turned from a bathroom renovation to a kitchen renovation really quick. And there were so many things messed up in the kitchen. And a friend of ours was coming in and trying to schedule things out on how to build cabinets. And he saw that we were noticeably stressed and he said, well, it's all going to burn up one day anyway. And I took great comfort in that. I was like, you know what? You're right. My wife did say, well, we would like to enjoy it before then. But, you know, taking great comfort in the fact that, look, this is not my kitchen, y'all. We wanted a kitchen desperately because we love to have people over. This is not my kitchen. This is not my car. It's not mine, really. It's not. I need to cultivate a servant's heart. And it's so hard sometimes because we love the things that we own. You got to let them go. You can't hold on to them anyway. The second part under we will serve is by developing our spiritual gifts to build the body. We've already seen that in Romans. That means us understanding, okay, Lord, what gifts have you given me? Finding people with those similar gifts, learning from them. Finding a place within the church or in the community that you can use those gifts. That way you can give so very abundantly of the gift God has given you for the building up of the body. You know, in thinking through, what is it? It's Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Let's see here. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. I'm telling you, if you contribute diligently to the needs of the saints, knowing their needs, and if you're pursuing hospitality, if you have a heart that is a cultivated servant's heart, God will put you where you need to be to give. You'll not have to guess. But it's the heart that we have to work on. It says this, under we will serve by looking for and meeting the needs of others. Pretty simple. We've spoken about that. I'm looking for the needs of others. And then lastly, by giving our time, talents, and material possessions. So, as we close out, thinking about how we serve, thinking about how we contribute to the needs, come alongside of the needs of the saints, we're all heading in the same direction, following Christ. This is all about building up the body in love and pursuing hospitality, saying, come on over, let me feed you, or saying, hey, how can I help you today? You see somebody out in the parking lot with their hood open, and you go up and say, hey, how can I help you? Is there something I can do practically? Some of you more mechanically minded individuals. You see somebody who's looking kind of down, and you're somebody who's really good at encouraging. Sit next to them. How are you doing? How can I encourage you? You know somebody is going through a really, really hard time. And you happen to be somebody who wars in prayer. You pray for them fervently. If God has blessed you with much wealth, physical wealth, and you know of individuals who are in dire need, give. Give generously. If God has given you the gift of teaching and preaching, teach and preach to the fullest, diligently preparing. If God has given you the gift of administration, come and find me and help me. Work diligently to organize things that they would work well for the building of the body. Maybe it's helps and services. Stack chairs, roll tables, serve in the kitchen. Whatever you do, pursue it. And pursue it feverishly. For this is what you were made for. We're not made to sit around and twiddle our thumbs. Because the very, very same things, the gifts that we receive, it all goes back to this idea that Jesus told his disciples. Freely you have received, so now you freely give. All of our contributions, all of our pursuit of hospitality must come from the place of absolute humility, knowing that we have received much from Christ. At one point in time, we were all strangers. And even in this room, I know there's people who don't know each other. Christ has brought us in by his grace. So whatever gift you have received from him, give it freely to others. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we trust you and we rely upon you. We rely upon you in order to contribute to the needs of others. I pray that you would, Lord, bring us together in one another's lives in such a way that we know the needs. We know what it means to come alongside those needs and to diligently, purposely give to aid those needs of the saints. That you would stoke our hearts to pursue being hospitable, both to those we know and do not know. That we would open our homes, that we would open our lives, that we would seek to give a practical kindness, that all points back to the kindness shown to us upon the cross. We have each received much, grace upon grace upon grace. So enable us, Lord, to apply this. Enable us with the same fervor to prevail upon others, to serve them, to care for them. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I ask these things. And now as we come to a time of prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, may these needs be made known to us. And may you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, reveal to us how we can contribute to the needs of the saints. And how we can pursue hospitality towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. All of God's people said, Amen.